Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Happy Friday as you head into the weekend, and we appreciate you doing it with us here with myself and the one and only Brady Quinn.
That's right, baby. It's Friday. We made it through the week. We didn't get fired so far. Still got a couple hours left. Maybe yes. Maybe that'll take place. But you know what I'm excited about is we get to talk about a subject that you've been avoiding all week. You know, I tried to get you to talk about it on Wednesday.
Unbelievable.
You kept pushing it off, saying, "Oh, we'll talk about it an hour or four." Try to get you to talk about it on Thursday, and you're like, no. It's coming up. Next segment. You probably said that eight times in the show.
Listen,
ended. So finally we get to talk about it today.
Look, this is a wild ride here. There's a lot of stuff that happens during the course of the show. I don't have OCD, so I don't have everything mapped out. There's a lot of hosts out there. Listen.
That's how I operate, buddy. I need direction. I need structure. I'm not one of those types that works in the abstract. Not at all.
See, but I do think when you're doing a live radio show, you've got to be open-minded to the idea that a conversation could go in a direction that may be better than what the previous plan was. And there's a lot of people who go, No, I got to stick with the plan and stick with the plan. It's like, all right, well, you're missing out on a great opportunity to talk about some guy getting an action figure after himself because he, beat up a couple of Denver Nugget fans. You know,
it's so still weird to me that you're jealous. That's what this comes down to is you're jealous he has an action figure.
I am.
And you don't. I mean, I know you're admitting it now, but you're a grown man. What are you going to do with an action figure? Just look at yourself? You already look at yourself in the mirror enough.
I just want to say I have it. I don't actually want it.
Go have a company make one. Forget it for me. Forget it. I know what I'm getting you for your birthday, whenever the hell it is.
Yeah.
Because I pretty much forget every year, so I just tell you happy birthday every day.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I'm going to get you an action figure. I'm going to get you an action figure for your birthday, whenever it is.
Awesome. That's great. I can already imagine what that action figure will look like. It's good. You know what this is? Let me tell people how this is.
It's not
going to
look anything like Cristiano Ronaldo's statue.
Let me,
you know what I'm talking about.
The one
where it looks like he's got a circus right below his waist.
Yeah, let me tell you something. This is how this is going to go. Brady Quinn's going to tell me, I'm going to get you something for your birthday. It's going to be an action figure. I'm going to open up the packaging, and it's the Gimp from Pulp Fiction. That's exactly how this is going to go. That is what I have to deal with, and it's what I've had to deal with for 5-6 years on Sunday nights on Fox Sports Radio. But we transition over to this conversation. Now, Dwayne Haskins is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know if this is supposed to be the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know how this whole thing is supposed to go. He was talking with the media yesterday and saying, you know, my goal is to prove to the Pittsburgh Steelers that I love football. You know, the fact that we're even having that conversation and that you have to do that is a little bit odd to me. But the point being, things did not go well for Dwayne Haskins in Washington. And you've got Ron Rivera, who's recently said that, you know, maybe he could have handled some things differently, created a little bit more of a quarterback competition, which you find a little bit odd and you don't necessarily agree with, Brady Quinn.
So there's this term, and it's usually used in gambling because, I'll be honest with you, I should say playing poker, playing cards, things of that nature. It's not exactly gambling when you talk to people who do it professionally, okay? Usually these people are smart at math, they know statistics, they know odds, and so they understand why they're playing and how they're playing. And there's a term called resulting. Look, we're guilty of doing this. Everyone is. If you're listening right now, you have done this. And this is why you'll probably continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again. It's for this reason. It's called resulting. And that means you're using the result of an outcome to basically say, well, my decisions leading up to that outcome, they were wrong because I ended up not getting the result I wanted. The reality is, life doesn't work like that. You know, sometimes you're just unlucky. Sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way. Sometimes things don't work out for you. And so the reality is, in this case, the reasoning why Ron Rivera gave Dwayne Haskins every opportunity, anointed him as the starter last year and all those reps when he could, was because we went through a year with COVID. He didn't have an offseason. He had a rookie quarterback essentially still a rookie quarterback who didn't play much his rookie season. And so you had to prepare a guy to be the guy. Otherwise, you know, you were going to risk going into a season not having anyone prepared because of what happened with COVID. You know, there was no OTAs. There were no mini camps. There was all these Zoom meetings and whatnot. And so, and by the way, from all accounts, Dwayne Haskins was operating and doing the things that he needed to do to put himself in a position to be the starter. He had lost weight. He had gotten better shape. There were reports of that. And so they get into training camp, and there's no preseason games, by the way. So there's really not much to gauge outside of what we're seeing, you're seeing in practice. And he looks to some degree to be the part. Now you get into games, different story. It didn't work out that way. And as the season started to fall by the wayside, obviously, you know, you had the heroics of Alex Smith, you know, him being able to come in and play. You had to, you know, Kyle Allen was a part of that roster. He was able to come in and play for a minute before he got injured. But the reality is this. He wasn't wrong in how he went about trying to prepare his team and trying to prepare Dwayne Haskins for that opportunity, for that shot. He wasn't wrong because it didn't work out. What he did was right. It actually gave them a chance when it was all said and done. And no matter what he wants to say, it still gave them a chance. Dwayne Haskins just didn't live up to his end of the bargain, or he needs more help, more growth, more development, whatever the case is. You know, but so he's wrong for looking back and saying, well, no, this is how I should have done it because this is how I'm doing it now. You know, now he's having a quarterback competition, which I don't know how you view it in Washington, but the reality is it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
He's
yes.
getting paid the most.
Yes.
He's the most experienced. He's going to be the guy that gets the first crack at it. Yet on a guy who's on a new team, who's in a different system, you know, now you've got him splitting reps with everyone else. And I know we've got an offseason now with OTAs and minicamps, so there's a little more reps to go around. But either way, this isn't a team, in my opinion, that can afford to be able to divide up reps when, you know, you're not that good in the first place, at least offensively speaking. Now, they might be improved this year. They might be better. We know how good their defense is. But offensively speaking, like, that's the one thing that they need is solid, sound quarterback play. And if that guy doesn't have enough, you know, reps and enough of a chance to establish himself, it's only going to hurt them once they get to the season. So, you know, unfortunately, Ron Rivera is resulting because he's taking a past result and he's applying it moving forward where I think he was right. It got unlucky. It didn't work out. But that doesn't mean his approach was wrong. And unfortunately, that's now how he's applying things moving forward in Washington. And I think that's where you continually then make mistakes. And that's why I don't have very high hopes for the Washington football team this year. And I think we know, too, you know, after this year, they don't have the future quarterback on the roster.
No.
They're going to have to dip back into the draft.
And here's the other thing on, and this is why, and I don't know the motivation behind why Ron Rivera felt the need to go in this direction. And look, it's all context. He could have been asked a question in a certain way, and this is how we responded. But if anything, I think he gave Dwayne Haskins every single possible opportunity to put him in the best position to succeed. Like, if you're a guy like Josh Rosen, who we've talked about before, who's gotten no opportunities, you got to look at what Dwayne Haskins has been afforded and go, damn, I'd kill for that. Because let's be honest about it. He had nine games that he appeared in the NFL and was already on his third coach, Dwayne Haskins. Like literally, it was turn and burn. It was Gruden got fired. Then they bring in Callahan. Then they go out and they hire Ron Rivera. Like he was on his third coach through nine games, and still Ron Rivera stuck with him and gave him every opportunity to be the guy. Also, and you talk to enough people, whether it's college or the NFL, and you talk to a lot of longtime NFL and college people. If you said to these people, longtime NFL and college people, hey, so I got this guy, he's a quarterback, he's got a lot of talent, he does have some tools, and they say, all right, well, what's one flaw he has? And you said to them, well, he missed the final snap of a game and his backup had to take it because he was taking a selfie on the sideline with a fan. Brady, sight unseen, that guy's never getting a chance again. Like, sight unseen, they would say, wait a second, he missed the final snap of a game because he was taking a selfie with a fan? What?
Well,
seriously, he would never get a chance again. So the idea that Dwayne Haskins and Ron Rivera maybe, you know, didn't create the right environment for him, man, the environment was there, he didn't get it done, period.
So I'll put it this way. I'll never say never in the NFL because there's probably been some other player that has done that along the course of his career that has still gone on to start and play. Maybe not at a quarterback position, but it was just for a kneel down. And on top of that, I mean, if the talent outweighed all the issues that he's creating off the field, which it didn't in this case, right? Like, we had this conversation last year. Dwayne Haskins didn't play to the ability that would be able to overcome all the stuff, whether it was breaking COVID protocol, which I believe he did at one point in time.
Yes.
And that was his rookie year, I believe, when he decided to miss the final snaps to take a selfie. But all the other things that came along with it. Here's the reality, by the way, for both Ron Rivera and Dwayne Haskins, because Ron Rivera gets a fresh start with a veteran, very similar to what he had in Alex Smith when they were able to win the division, even though that team was severely lacking in winning a bad division. But here's what they both have going forward. Ron Rivera gets a fresh start with a veteran quarterback, which is like what I think he wants as a former player, a longtime head coach, and a defensive-minded guy. He wants someone he feels like he can rely on. Then you look at Dwayne Haskins. He gets a fresh start in a good organization that's not, close to his hometown. People tend to forget he was from, the D.C. area, the DMV, as we kind of call it, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. He was from that area. Sometimes it can be tough to go back to a place where you're from and when you become a professional athlete. So this actually could have been a humbling experience for Dwayne Haskins. It could be an opportunity for him to grow. And look, I'm telling you, that kid's talented. You put him in t-shirt and shorts, he'll look as good as anyone throwing the football. It just comes down to what he can do once he puts the helmet and pads on in an actual game. If he can watch and learn from Ben, that's a guy to keep your eye on moving forward. I'm telling you. He's got enough talent to get it done. It's just more about what's between the ears.
He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next here on FSR, we are going to find out what the latest scandal in sports means for some of the best players in the league. And we'll do it with our insider. That's next here. Outkick the Coverage, Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, and you right here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Right now, he is always kind enough to join us here on FSR. He is John Paul Morosi, Fox Sports Radio's MLB insider. You see him on the MLB Network. He covers the NHL. And listen, I don't even know if we have time to get into the fact that Italia is rolling at the Euro Cup. JP, what's happening on a Friday?
Oh, Jonas and Brady, my friends. Well, I guess I have to. You have opened the door. You have opened the door, Jonas, for me to speak about this. Io sono molto, molto eccitato per la squadra italiana. Penso che Italia va a vincere la Coppa Europea. I'm feeling very, very confident that Italy is going to win the Euro. I said in advance that I like the way they've been playing with Roberto Mancini as the allenatore, and now that we're seeing some creativity with the goal scoring, Manuel Locatelli, very good game the last time out, and Gianluigi Donnarumma, il portiere più bravissimo del mondo. He's the most, for me, the most impressive goalie in the world. So I'm feeling good, guys. I'm speaking Italian at 7:40 in the morning. I'm feeling real good about this.
I want Italian food so bad.
Yeah,
I want Italian food.
Like, unbelievable.
A nice bottle of Italian wine.
You know what I want?
I want to watch some soccer.
Listen, I want a 32-ounce Peroni at Buca di Beppo right now is what I want. That's what I want from John Paul Morosi. That was impressive.
Guys, no. Listen, I would say this: that when Italy plays again, their third match in the group stage, wherever you are in the world, find the nearest gathering of Italian soccer fans and just go there and enjoy. Yeah. Find this a beautiful big screen television with some Peroni, as you said, some great food, and just soak it in, because I'm telling you, get on the bandwagon now, my friends, because Italy's going to win. Italy's going to win the whole thing.
That's Brady's in-laws.
Yeah, I was just going to say, JP, I don't have to go very far. I married an Italian woman from Boston, and so when they all come down, it's essentially like a celebration for their Italian heritage every single day. So
I love hearing that.
Hey, I'm not even Italian. I root for Italy because a dear friend of mine and his father who just recently passed, they are diehard Italian soccer fans, straight from Italy, and they've taught me everything I know about Italian soccer. So I know way too much about it. But the point, you know, all of that being said, JP, your main gig is covering Major League Baseball. We know you're in Montreal covering the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs, but it's Major League Baseball. Has the dust settled on the sticky substance conversation? I know Tyler Glass now came out this week with some accusations are being made, and some guys are getting more and more defensive about it. But where do we stand on this? Has anybody gotten popped, or is anybody about to get popped from your understanding?
Well, really, I would say the true enforcement phase of this is still to come, where I think we'll really start to see the enforcement roll out here in the next couple weeks. And when it does, I do think it's possible that we will see some people getting caught. I really do believe that a lot of pitchers have been adjusting their mentality and their approach, and I think they're really making the effort to pitch without sticky stuff on the mound, but we are seeing the effects of that. We have actually seen in a very short amount of time, even since this became a question and a topic about, enforcement is coming now, and it's been a couple of weeks since we've been talking about this subject, you're seeing the batting average has gone up, interestingly enough. Offense has ticked up. It's not a huge change, but it has happened. And you even heard Garrett Cole. I think it was really interesting. And some of my colleagues in the New York media were asking Garrett some great questions about how he had to change his approach. And Joel Sherman asked him some very good questions about how Garrett Cole, while he was successful, certainly in his last time out against the Blue Jays this week, it was a different kind of pitcher. He was throwing a different mix of pitches because he has to. And I think that we're seeing now that the pitchers who are able to make adjustments and do it, I tip my cap to them for their ability to adapt. But to your point, it also is concerning when Tyler Glasnow, who is someone that I have a lot of respect for, says that he believes that not having that substance or even a little bit of something to help him out is the reason why he's now on the injured list. So I feel for him in that circumstance, and I think we are still, guys, at the outset of just really discerning what the impact of the game is going to be.
Hey, JP, help me understand why Major League Baseball wanted to do this right in the middle of the season. As Tyler Glasnow pointed out, if you do it after the season, or if they've known this has been going on for such a long period of time, why not do it before the season or wait till after to address it and allow these players times to change? Otherwise, maybe the pitchers are more subject to injury, or the batters for that matter, if balls are going to be kind of slipping out of their hands and they're going to see some errant 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. Why did they decide to do it right in the middle of the season?
Well, Brady, that's an excellent question. And I think what I would say on MLB's behalf is that they did circulate some memos as far back as the early part of spring training to let everybody know, hey, we're going to gather data, we're going to gather equipment, baseballs during the course of the first couple months of the season and really ascertain how big this problem is. And so I suppose that was the warning. Now, we could take a step back and say, well, how seriously did the players think that it was actually going to be done, or was this just sort of a memo that went out that like some memos in life are not really paid that close attention to? And I think that in this situation, it was a memo sent with great sincerity that, listen, we're going to monitor the situation. And I do think on some level, Brady, that the results of the games this year, the drop in the contact rate, the drop in or the increase in strikeouts, the drop in the batting average, I think MLB had the cover to say, listen, we sent you guys the memo in spring training, and it's also our obligation to put the best product out there for our fans. And I do think that I think the other most important part here is that it's just enforcing a rule that's always been there. I realize it's been a custom that with a wink and a nod, it's been ignored, but I do think MLB is on pretty solid ground here to have some teeth behind this enforcement, and the rollout has been very, very gradual, where pitchers have had a chance to really adjust. But I also think this, and to your point, Brady, this is someone's livelihood. Pitching is their livelihood, and also there are some pitchers who I think mentally have gotten to the spot in recent years where they felt like they had to have this to be able to succeed. And you know better than me as an athlete, from that state, just the mentality of the athlete about what goes into your success. You change that formula in the middle of the year, it really, I think, has a chance to change a player's mentality as much as their physicality on the mound.
John Pomerosi joining us here on Outkick, the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio of the MLB Network, NHL Network, and also Fox Sports Radio MLB Insider. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn with you here on FSR. So, JP, last one for me, but I feel like this is sort of an overarching question. I don't even know if you would have the answer to this. But we've talked a lot about some of the issues that the NFL players have with the NFLPA, that they feel like they're not strong enough, they don't stand their ground. They get worked over in these negotiations. The CBA always seems to be slanted towards the owners. Yet in baseball, the MLBPA is lauded by other athletes, other people that cover sports as, man, say what you want about them, they've got their guys back. When did this, why are they able to put together such strength, and why are they able to put together such a strong union that is respected by so many people, yet other leagues aren't able to do the same thing?
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting topic, and I think we'll see later this year the late Marvin Miller is going into the Hall of Fame because of his impact on the sport, and this goes back to the 70s, and it's a long history of the strength of baseball's union over generations, and I do think that the format of the game has given players a lot of individual standing and opportunity to speak out. It's interesting. It's a team sport, just like football and basketball and hockey and soccer are in our country, but it probably is the most individual sport of the team sports, if that makes sense, where your own individual performance, there are all these sort of discrete moments in the game, and I do think that gives players the platform. The union's been very strong, and I do think that there has been a groundswell in a real sense that the players want to have really, really determined advocacy for them in this next upcoming round of CBA talks. So I do think on some level, Jonas, it's all rolled into one, where the on-field rule enforcement is part of the overall context of labor relations, and I think the union and the players are seem to be taking a stronger position in general right now than they have last time around.
Hey, JP, I've got one more for you.
Sure.
I know you're in Montreal right now, so take us through a day in the life of JP Morosi as you're quarantined, I assume. You have certain protocols you have to go through. So tell us what your daily activities are like right now.
Yeah, Brady, no, it's a great question. It's been a great experience. And first of all, full credit to the NHL and our respective governments in the U.S. and Canada for making it possible for me to be here. So basically, while I was in Vegas and then here in Montreal, the rules are you're at the hotel. There's a designated spot where we can pick up meals. And then there's a bus that takes you to the rink and back. And that's basically your existence. And it's I feel grateful to be here. It is a little different, of course, as we know, different states around the country and now more broadly, we're getting back to normal, for lack of a better description of it, in daily life. But obviously, when you're at when you're dealing with international travel now, in Canada has if I was not part of this bubble, so to speak, as soon as you come to Canada, it's a 14-day quarantine at home without being able to leave. And so as a condition of being able to leave and cover the games, it's basically hotel only and to the rink and back. So, but the meals have been great. The NHL and the Canadian government have taken great care of us here. So I'm just enjoying. I'm watching a lot of French TV, watching a lot of trying to get better at that. watching a lot of hockey. It's been a lot of fun, guys. It's really been a blessing to be here. Everybody's been so wonderful, and hockey's playoff hockey is so special. So the atmosphere in Vegas is incredible. I would say to anybody out there, watch a Golden Knights game in Vegas. It is an experience. They do a great job there. And of course, the Canadiens, just the with all the franchises, history here, and what it's going to be. Of course, 3,500 fans will be in the building at the Bell Center tonight, which is what nice. I've always said is the best atmosphere in sports. So it's just two incredible arenas and franchises and venues. So feel very, very lucky to be here right now, guys.
He is John Paul Morosi, MLB Network, NHL Network, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider, and he is a man who is calling his shot. Italia is winning the Euro Cup. It's happening. It's going down, and JP was ahead of this story when it does finally happen. John Paul, we appreciate it, man.
Grazie mille, Forza Azzurri. And based on what you guys said about Italy before, I think we're all family anyway. I think we're all cousins right now. So
that's
good.
Right. That's right.
Damn right. Amen. There it is. All right. There. So the great John Paul Morosi. Now, here's the thing. I would have loved to have spoken Italian, but I only know the bad words.
At least you know some words. Yeah. I don't know anything. I don't know everything. Usually, as much wine as my in-laws like to drink, given their Italian heritage, when they start speaking Italian, or I'm usually blacked out by that point, or it sounds like they're speaking Italian because I've had so much Italian wine to drink. So
that's good. That's very good. Very appropriate. All right. So you want to go ahead? You and Danny want to have fun at my expense? Go ahead. Read the score. Go do your little crummy recap of this crap.
I do have an official scorecard for that interview with Morosi. Brady got one excellent question, and he got one great question. Jonas, you got a very interesting topic.
Yeah.
So the scorecard results, Brady Quinn 2, Jonas Knox -1.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, man. Like, first of all right, you got to know your strengths and your weaknesses. I have never claimed to be a great interviewer, all right, because I don't have an opportunity to interview a lot of people on weekend overnights. All right,
well, because you don't like to. You don't like to. You like the show all for yourself. So it's a skill that you're still working on.
Look.
I kind of have to check the ego a little bit. That's all I have to do.
I promise you, I've known John Paul Morosi for a long time. I will literally reach out to him and pay him to give me great questions.
I hope you do.
Week.
You've lost 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I hope you do.
In fact, I will pay him extra to say, you know what, that's a subpar question, Brady Quinn. That way, you should get. If he says you give a bad question, can we at least dock points, Danny? Can we play that game at least?
Yeah,
we already docked you a point. We docked you a point for the
interesting
topic.
Yeah, the interesting isn't bad. It's just kind of, you know,
he didn't
on
even
the
say
verge.
Question. He just said topic, almost like he skipped over the fact that you asked him a question and just wanted to move on to the topic of discussion. I think it should be deducted a point.
This is just unbelievable. I mean, first off, I can't get a damn action figure, but the guy who beats up a Denver fan at a basketball game in some oversized Steve Nash jersey for the Suns, he gets an action figure. Then Dubs in Nashville, he finds a Chuck E. Cheese action figure. He's claiming that that's me being sold on eBay right now, and it's not, because if it is, I want the royalties for it. I feel like I'm being attacked at all angles here on this show. It's crazy.
Have we fixed the phone lines in Nashville? Like, where's the update on that?
I have no idea. I think Dub just has pretty much given up on the phone lines in Nashville. Like, Dub, are you over
it? It's 2021, but whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's Friday. They're not going to fix it today.
like every day. See, but that's protocol in radio. Every day is a 3-day weekend. Every week is a 3-day weekend.
That's right. Everyone's too hungover on Mondays. Fridays, they've already packed it in. It's the Tuesday through Thursday where they're really grinding. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Outkick the Coverage here at Fox Sports Radio. Okay. So coming up next, there's a coach who may be hiding something about his quarterback heading into next season. This will be fascinating to watch, and we'll find out who it is together here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Yeah. Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You and I have been beating the drum for the past week or so, and this is something that we've been pretty this isn't just all of a sudden we're looking for stuff to be upset about. I think we've both been pretty consistent about this, and we've talked about it over the past couple of years, that there's more and more, with more and more access being granted to media and coverage of the NFL being the number one sport, you're seeing people report on practices as if it's a game.
Not a game.
Practice. Yeah. And it's like you see it over and over again. Oh, so-and-so threw a red zone interception today. Somebody fumbled a snap. It's like, dude, it's practice. This is when you go through all this stuff. And so John Harbaugh is put some new restrictions on outside media when it comes to filming practice. And they're not allowed to film Lamar Jackson throw the ball to his wide receivers at practice. John Harbaugh was asked about the reasoning for that, and here's what he recently said.
It's a fair question. The reason is because you're not us. You know, we allow our in-house people to do that because we trust them. We know what they're going to put out and what they're not going to put out. We open the can of worms with you and say you can film this but can't film that. Then we got to spend all our time policing whether you pushed it over the line or not and showed a two-man route combination or showed a complete play that we don't want our opponent to see. So why are we going to try to police, you know, the media when they don't work with us and for us, you know? And that's exactly why, because we do have valuable information. If it was just going to be the one-man route you put out, it wouldn't be a problem, but it never stays there. It never ends up being that. The envelope always gets pushed. The slope always gets slippery. And then stuff goes out that we don't want out, that we don't want our opponents to see. Or even our personnel evaluators to see about our players in practice that we don't need them to see. So it's a competitive type issue that way. We can control our people. We can't control you in terms of what you put out.
All right, so that was John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, talking about why he doesn't want the media filming Lamar Jackson throw at camp. Two things. One, I love that he's taken this approach. Two, I don't buy his reasoning at all for 1 second. I'll just leave that there, Brady Quinn.
So I disagree. I think for every single reason he's stated, it's true and it's valid. And it's why a lot of teams usually provide access to the beginning of practice, but not once you get into actual drills that are going to involve scheme to some degree. I mean, think about this. What team probably has the greatest schematic advantage, at least in the AFC? And in my opinion, you'd have to say, like, scheme is more important to the Ravens than any other team, probably in the NFL. It's in part because of Lamar Jackson's ability to run and all the things they can disguise and do with all of that. So why would you want to provide your opponents any additional information or help in showing them, for example, you said a two-man route combination, right? So two wide receivers running a route. Why would you want to show them running anything? Why would you want to show a new addition to the team, because they have made some new additions, what those guys look like in practice, where you have them lining up, what you have them doing? And I know there's probably some people out there going to say, well, we have three preseason games. Well, for starters, some of the starters don't even play in those preseason games anymore. And the other thing is most teams, especially good teams, when you're running an offense or a defense in preseason, it's as vanilla as can be. The games don't count. You're not trying to show what you're trying to do to your opponent week one of the regular season. And so that's an excuse. You know, you're not, you know, none of that's legitimate. So don't try to make up that, well, they're going to see in preseason, because no one uses their stuff in preseason. If they do, they're probably not going to have a good season once they get there, because everyone's already going to know and see their tendencies, what they're going to do. So it actually makes a lot of sense for all the reasons he said. It's why teams have tried to limit their access. And also it kind of controls the narrative, which I think is now more important than ever. Because what happens with the media is they allow one bad throw, you know, the media to walk in and for example, with Tua, they don't know what after practice, you know, what the conversation was like. When the coaching staff told Tua going into that day that, you know, when he threw five picks, that they want them to be aggressive. They want them to take chances. You know, the other thing is you see all these stats for completion percentage and all that. Do any of these reporters know what the down and distance is, what the situation is? Unless they're just in one portion of the field. For example, if you're a quarterback and you throw the football on fourth down and it gets intercepted, who cares? You're going to turn over the ball anyway if you don't get it. So, of course, you're going to take a chance on fourth down. You don't know what situation they're practicing. You don't know if the wide receiver, the tight end, ran a bad route or wasn't at the right depth. So the whole idea that we need to have stats via practice is all self-serving to the individuals that are doing it on Twitter, that are doing it for beat reporters. It doesn't serve the team, so I'm with them. Why would you allow them access, or why wouldn't you try to control the content they're putting out?
That part of it I agree with, and I agree with that part more than the idea. I think it's the narrative portion that he's most concerned with. You know, the two-man route combination, I'm sure they've run that in games. People could go back and take a look at that or whatever. And you know, I'm an All-22 guy. You know I break down the film. It's what I do in my off time. But I think it's more the narrative aspect of it. And look, maybe Brian Flores should take the same approach. Because we've already gotten a hold of Tua's first practice in a rainstorm in which he threw five interceptions and everybody ran wild with it. It feels like that's more of why he's doing it, and maybe not as many of the other details that he gave to the media there, which, listen, I'm on board with. I think the coverage of it is crazy, but it just feels like there's a little bit more there than what he's giving us there.
I kind of disagree. And the other thing is, you know, we don't know if he's working on something technically with his throwing motion. So maybe they're saying, look, at this point in time, we don't care what it looks like or how it looks when it's coming out, because we're working on something that the media or the fan base isn't going to know. They're not going to understand. So there's no reason to let them in on what we're trying to do behind the scenes when they're not privy to that information. So I 100% get where they're coming from, man. I really do.
Well, you and I got to work at something behind the scenes here during the break, and nobody's allowed access to this. But you'll see what we worked on next here on FSR.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.